Welcome to the Know How Podcast, the only podcast to give you access to top tips, recruiting stories, and insider info here at Impellum. So sit back and turn the volume up. On this episode of Diary of a Serial Biller, we find out all about the world of Joel Forrester. Joel is the Client Solutions Director for Guidant Global, and we asked him how his experience in the armed forces, leading elite armed assets on the streets of the UK, and selling surveillance and security software into global government organisations such as the FBI, has contributed to his success in sales at Impellum. If you want to understand his mantra of comfort zones, clarity and Kevlar, and how this helps him challenge himself every day, then keep listening.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Lucy Scally. I am the performance and development business partner for GMS globally. And I'm talking to Joel Forrester. Joel Forrester is the Solutions Director at Guidant Global, but also self-appointed Chief Happiness Officer. And I'm going to be talking to Joel today about, well, about lots of things, where he's come from, what's he doing now. We're going to talk about what he feels has made him successful. And get to know you. Yeah, find out what that is.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you for having me, Lucy. Very pleased to be here.
Thank you. Absolute pleasure. So, Joel, when did you, let's start off with the basics. So when did you join Impellum?
I joined Impellum pretty much a year to the week, April/end of April 2022. Just about to have my 12-month anniversary.
Lovely. And what made you join Impellum?
So I had my first interaction and crossover with Impellum/Guidant was when I was talking to Mr. Blockley, the one and only, surrounding a diversity product that I was selling and leading, all surrounding veterans and getting them back into employment and supporting them with opportunities and stuff like that. So that was my first crossover. And then, to be honest, and this is going to sound completely and utterly cheesy, I just felt like I really got on with him really well. I really connected to him. We have some synergy from a sporting standpoint. He's a hockey guy. I founded a hockey charity about 10 years ago. So lots of linkage. And yeah, just kind of felt quite drawn to who he was as a guy. And then the more I did some digging about the Impellum Group and Guidant Global, I managed to sneakily identify an opportunity as a client solutions director. And then, went through the process. And here I am.
Brilliant. Thank you. And so really, you thought, this might be my tribe. I'm getting good vibes from this guy. Let's look at, you know, how the culture and how everybody else is as well.
Yeah, to be completely honest, in my way of life, my mantra in life is very much about people and connections and how I feel about people and vibing. And to be honest, that is at the forefront of my decision making when it comes to things, really. If I really get on with people, then I'll be really interested to do great work with them, not only internally as colleagues, but also clients. I feel that the better relationship I personally can have with a client is the better product that we will know how to deliver to them, which in turn obviously hopefully serves Guidant and the Impellum Group in the way that it should be.
Lovely, thank you. And for those people that don't know what a solutions director does, in very simple terms?
It pretty much sales, new business, new clients, new people, new opportunities, stuff like that. But there's obviously a very intricate sales process that goes into every opportunity that we run, and a very wise man once explained to me, when we do go for an opportunity, actually, you know, there is a financial investment in just getting time from our subject matter experts. So that's why we're very very calculated in what we go for from a sales opportunity and what we don't, because it has to obviously wash its face and not be a wasted time for everyone.
Yeah, brilliant. So talking about before Impellum, it's quite an interesting CV. So, where would you like to where would you like to start telling us about?
Yeah, so I joined the forces in my teens, bit of a child reprobate, most probably, my mum would say, still say now, to be fair. My granddad was a massive influence in my life, throughout my life. And the person I call dad is not my biological father, but he's been in my life since 2 months old, 3 months old. He's from Rajasthan in India, and my mum's Irish, of Irish descendants. So very much an interesting blend of cultures there, which I think is fantastic. But that dad's background, his father was in the Indian Navy. So there's just been that military influence in my life from a very, very young age. When I turned boy into man in my teens, that was the path I went. I joined the parachute regiment. So I went through selection, started off as 75 people on day one, week one, and at the end of the course, 8 of us passed. So very proud moment for me and the fambo, which is really cool. Then went on to enjoy a really cool career, deployed Africa, Iraq, Afghan twice, did a load of stuff in the UK with SF. I then specialised and went to Special Forces Support Group. So all the deployments I did was with Tutu or the underwater knife fighters, I like to call them SBS, doing some really cool, interesting stuff and chasing baddies. And then after my career in forces, I then decided it was a great idea to then join the police. I lasted probably about 6 weeks in frontline, and I was told that probably frontline wasn't for me. We better send you somewhere where you can hold a gun and chase baddies again. So I ended up being an operational firearms commander for probably about 60 to 65 guys and girls, again, chasing baddies across the UK. Vehicle tactics, house searches, warrants, stuff like that. But had some fantastic times. And then after a career there, I decided, I wanted a different lifestyle. I think that mm-hmm. probably sales could bring to the table. So I made the plunge and got into an old military colleague of mine set up a company selling surveillance technology, so audio, visual tracking, stuff like that, and all of the clients were pretty much North America, and a lot of central government clients out there as well. So it was selling different, really Gucci, quite cool, sneaky beaky surveillance equipment. After a few years of doing that, I headed up the international sales team there, and then I met a guy. Do you know what, there's a theme, as I'm about to say this, there's a theme coming. I met a guy on a few beers in London. He worked in an agency, really cool guy, just clicked with him straight off the bat. And that was my kind of first step into the recruitment-y kind of world. And he kind of brought me in to that agency very much to head and expand clients. So if we had a client A, and go in, learn them, get to know them, build a relationship out, and then see what other work we can do with them. That was fundamentally my role, but on a global scale. So I did that. I was there probably for about 18 months or so. And then I met Simon Blockley. And then the rest was history, as they say. Here I am.
That's really interesting, because I was wondering what the link was from the police or the armed forces and the police into sales, because you wouldn't in first class you wouldn't necessarily think but the link was the security equipment. You were selling something that you knew exactly what it was, right?
And had credibility in, so I could talk about it from an operational standpoint, exactly. From a delivery standpoint, probably give some guidance to companies that they might not be aware of themselves. But I was in that sales role there for probably about six or seven years, something like that. Yeah. So I really honed in on my salesy patter and style. But again, coming back to very much my personality, it's all about relationships. I don't think that I'm not a salesy, gooey kind of person. I'm really all about just talking to people, listening to people, which is fundamentally the vast majority of it, listening to cues and what they're looking for, and then spinning something that we have that we can position with them. But again, it all comes back to relationships. So yeah, I kind of honed my experience there, and we had some massive clients from CIA to the FBI. We had some really monster clients out in the US. I spent a lot of time growing a lot of revenue through those different accounts. And I really enjoyed it. I kind of hit the ceiling of where A, the company was going, and B, mm-hmm. where my role was probably going to go. And I felt like I had a bit more in me. So I kind of started looking elsewhere.
Interesting. Thank you. So talking about sales, how would you say, for all that time, how would you say that sales has changed for you?
So I would say, once upon a time, sales was very much, you know, kind of servant master style, right? That's very much, I feel, you know, a certain level of salesperson will be pretty much a nodding dog, right? Have you got this? Yes, we have. Yeah, we'll find it. Okay.
Yeah.
I would say there's a whole other platform that is well beyond that of success. And that comes in from a really consultative sales approach, and that's listening to the client, understanding what they're saying, and then using our knowledge, our experience, you know, other clients, what's going on there, what the market's doing, to help guide and advise that client on if there's something that's better or a new and innovative way to look at something or approach something. Inevitably, one thing that I, as soon as I hear a client turn around to me and say, Joel, do you know what, you're the subject matter expert in this space, mm-hmm. advise me, guide me on what good should look like. I love that. And that shows the kind of psyche that they've got. It shows where they're at, probably in their process, and probably is another fantastic trigger or, you know, sign of them wanting to buy, a real sales sign, a real buying sign, sorry. When I hear that, that's great. And it's all about then bringing that learning into what excellent does look like and helping them work a way to achieve that.
Yeah, absolutely. And them seeing you as the equal partner. So, you're working together. They're experts in their business. You're an expert in what the future looks like, or what the art of the possible, if we're going to use the terminology.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I'd also say that where that can be quite tricky in our roles is that, because of the spend on the programs that we have, the vast majority of programs will go to tender, right? Mm-hmm. Excellence would be, you know, me being so connected with a client and getting such confidence and faith from them that we don't go to tender, right? That would be level one excellent. Underneath mm-hmm. that would be, you know, it tends to be some kind of tender process. And that's where it can be a bit trickier. And that's where, you know, how the importance and the you know, your approach to that relationship piece really has to come to the forefront. Anytime you're in front of that client, getting them to trust you, to like you, to be interested in you, and you have a connection on a different level, is working to that is absolutely vital. And that then will put you one step ahead of someone not doing that. And it's all about that, isn't it? It's all about being remembered and being monitored. Well, there's a phrase that my granddad has always said, is that people don't remember what you say, they remember how you make them feel. And if you can leave a really nice warm nugget with the person you're talking to, they will remember you, you know, as opposed to, you know, talking about what kind of product you can sell.
I totally agree, because sometimes it can, when we get to the tender situation, it can get all about the process, can't it, rather than the people. And we're both, you know, all about the people. So I totally get that. Yeah. Lovely. Thank you.
The other side of that, though, is one thing, again, a massive thing that I've noticed since joining the group, in Pelham Group and GG in particular, is that's also what our people are like. Our people like personable, interactive, communicative, consultative programs to work on. They don't want transactional. If I turn around to Karina and she said, and I said, right, here's this client, Karina, they're completely transactional, they don't want to hear from us, she'd be like, what are you doing? I'd probably get a bat around the back of the head. You know, we don't want that. And that's not what I want to sell. We want to sell great clients to great people and put great people in working on those programs, because that's inevitably the culture of our company.
Absolutely, yeah. And the more interesting it is for us and the candidates and everybody dealing with it, the more it's going to last, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
So without bringing the vibe down, but What about mistakes?
Mistakes.
What mistakes that you've made for your varied career. I suppose, what did you learn from them?
Do you know what? I started off when I first joined the Reg, and then when I went through into the, you know, my OFC role, and then even into sales and working with people. I don't know whether you've ever done any personality color coding and stuff like that. I am red. I am literally blood red.
No way.
That is me. I am red through and through. Cut me in half and I'll stay red. That is literally me. So I've had to really just, and I've done it. I've failed miserably at times when probably when I'm tired or very, very hungover. I have been previously a little bit snappy, and I've not caught myself in a moment of feeling frustrated, or someone, in my opinion, at that moment, dilly-dallying and not pushing forward. Now, that's red, right? We want action, execute, get it done now. Why are we not doing, you know, that's very much personality-wise my coding. So I've had to, over the years, really become so aware of that and see it as a positive, because it's absolutely a positive. There's hugely positive traits to, you know, the a red personality, but also be aware of how a red personality could trigger a green or a yellow or a blue, and then just be aware of that. And then fundamentally it leads into really some of the work I've done when running teams generally. I like to really get to know the people I'm working with. You know, if I go back to my forces days and you're looking at the people in my team, I'd have a breacher who would go up to a door and stick hydrogel on the door and blow a hole in the door. I'd have my comms and text guy or girl who would be just the ninja in blocking devices and making keeping comms good wherever we are. Sniper Overwatch. I see the person in control. All these different roles and people have completely different personalities. The amount of time that we used to spend in getting to know those personalities, getting to know the triggers, the not triggers, helped us work out in moments of stress, when someone who's blue-brained, for example, needs that additional bit of information, needs extra detail, extra knowledge, you know, they need to know the bigger plan. The reason why they're doing that is because that's who and what they are, and you can't change that. So working a way to work with these people and bring that into our objectives, missions, you know, sales strategies, whatever, was a fundamental part of me learning from the past and bringing that into success of the future. So learning and understanding who and what I was, why I was, and then trying to understand in more detail the people around me.
Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. And then what they need. So on to more positive things. So what would you say is your secret to your success? Because this podcast is Diary of a Serial Biller. We all generate income for the company in all our different ways. Well, what would you say is your secret to success?
But firstly, I try to always stay humble. I don't think I'm the most successful person in the world. I don't think I'm the biggest failure in the world. So, you know, that makes me go a little bit on that question. But, you know, fundamentally, what I feel makes me what I am and trying to be as successful as possible is actually genuinely caring about what I'm doing. So and always tomorrow trying to be better than what I was today. You know, I've had a mantra that's been drummed into me from a very young age, and there's three things that I've always pushed to ensure I was really aware of, and that have helped me get to me where I am now. And that's comfort zones, clarity, and Kevlar. So just to break that down, comfort zones, always being okay with things being uncomfortable or being challenged or being pushed or whatever, you know, whatever I'm doing, being okay, being uncomfortable. And that probably comes back to how I got through some of the selection courses I did. I didn't mind blowing out of my backside, being really tired, getting screamed at, probably getting a kick in every now and again. Like, to me, it's like, all right, cool, no problem. What's next? So I've always been okay with being quite uncomfortable in different spaces in life. Kevlar. So to those that don't know, Kevlar is a bulletproof vest. And Kevlar is made up of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of materials, like really thin fiber. But that laid on top of everything can stop a bullet penetrating and killing or injuring. So every failure, if you want to call it that, or every piece of learning that I've had when things didn't go well, or I spoke to someone badly and I review and I assess and understand why, that goes into a layer of my learning. And pulling those layers together should equate to always me progressing and looking at everything I've done and being okay with when things didn't go well and seeing it as just another layer of learning on my path to where I want to go. So those three things really fundamentally are I deploy in every single day of my life, and so far so good.
Yeah, absolutely. I really like Kevlar. I really like that idea of it's the layers that is the protection, and always trying to learn new things, and I suppose be open, isn't it? It's being open and curious to what's going on around you and improvement. So yeah, that obviously that rings true with me being in P&D, but okay, so it's not about me. What would you say, that's all led to, what would you say for your biggest achievement or the thing you're most proudest of?
Oh, in life, or are we talking?
Don't mind.
Total. Okay.
In life or in career? I mean, in life.
I'd always lead with my children. They are why I do what I do in life. They are why we work, why we sacrifice. That they are literally my beacon. So they're definitely number one. Out if we took children off the table. I would say probably two things I'm really proud of. So first one, as I said earlier on, about 10, 11 years ago, I founded a charity, and it was all to support children of service personnel who have been killed in conflict. And it started off as like 12 or 13 of my best mates. We drank a lot of alcohol and a lot of whiskey, and we did a lot of silly things, but we played a lot of sport, and we climbed a lot of mountains and that kind of stuff. And then it just turned into something a lot bigger. We're now about 65K away from fundraising £500,000 for people who need it, who have suffered from the loss of family members in conflict. So I'm really proud of that. And we've now got about 75 volunteers scattered across the country. So I'm really proud of that. And then 2005, I had the honour of being presented a bravery award from Her Majesty the Queen for an incident that happened in Afghanistan. So they're probably a medal from Queenie, and then obviously the charity as well. So they're my probably top three on my very, very pleased with list.
I think that's a pretty good list. I can say that because I know you're not that way, but I can say that. Not everybody's got that list. So so who would you say for you throughout your whole career, who would you say are the key people who've been instrumental really in supporting you or maybe teaching you something other than your family? Because you've already mentioned the importance of your family.
Yeah, other than my family. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think it would be wrong for me not to kind of duff of hat to the man I call dad in life. I'm not his biological son, but he has taken me on as his own. And he taught me the value of difference, and that it's actually, you know, the difference is probably one of the most powerful, successful things in life. You know, otherwise life would be pretty boring, right? So my dad fundamentally in a lot of my learnings of acceptance of difference and actually seeing it as such an incredibly valuable asset. So that dad would definitely be one. Second one I would say is a guy called Andy Halliday. If you don't know him, check him out. He was an SFO, Special Firearms Officer, on a massive job in London, where sadly they shot and killed the wrong person. He was in the police for many, many years. I know him through hockey, so he ended up becoming he ended up with being the team manager for the England and Great Britain hockey team. Went to many Olympics. He was an international hockey player himself. He's probably like mid 60s, late 60s, but he's been like a mentor to me pretty much for probably the last 15-20 years. So everything about that, like personal awareness, why my brain does what it does, why your brain does what it does, that kind of real learning about who and what you are as a person and then bringing that to an elite performance platform, that's really where my passion was born from him bringing that to my life. And he's an incredible human being. So he has fundamentally been a massive part. And then finally, I see this sounds so cheesy, but I would say it's probably a three-way between Karina, Simon and Mary, really, through having mm-hmm. that faith in taking a bit of a punt and bringing me to the table. I think they saw a lot of my personality in the initial conversations and how I would approach and how I do approach clients, and seeing how perhaps that is really aligned to actually the mantra of the Impellum Group in being great people and that kind of piece. So I'd say between them, you know, they put me into this opportunity and I'll be forever grateful for that. And it's probably outside of jumping out in planes and doing stuff in the dark, it's probably one of my most valued jobs to date. It's been what I've learned, who I've met along the lines, and the really unique way in which the Impellum Group, I think, approaches business and work. It's just so perfect for my personality and what I'm passionate about.
Brilliant. Yeah. I agree absolutely. What advice would you give your 18-year-old self? Oh, I love this question.
Don't drink that bottle of whiskey. Yeah. Put it down now.
Yeah. Apart from that one, I think we all knew that was coming.
Well, as a self-appointed chief happiness officer of the Impellum Group and Garden Global, yeah, I feel like, you know, the fun to parties, it should be a fundamental part of my role. So outside of that, what advice would I give to myself? Do you know what? Just be okay feeling a bit different, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
In any of the walks of life I've stepped into, whatever role I had, whether it was a leadership role, whether it was a team player role, whatever, I think if I was a little voice talking to me, I'd say it's okay just being what you are and who you are, because that there's incredible value to that for this group of people or for this team. Sometimes I think people hold themselves back a little bit because they're worried about, am I going to get judged there? Is someone going to think I'm stupid for saying that? Or what if that's not relevant? But actually, you know, the biggest, most important piece of any team, any company is I think psychological safety, where you believe and truly believe that you're not going to be judged on asking a stupid question or saying something silly or sticking an idea out in the market out into a team, and everyone will listen to it. They might listen to it, but also say, okay, cool, get it, but probably not right for that, not right for right here or right now, as opposed to you're an idiot, shut up, you know. So I think just telling myself that, have faith in that's the right way to be, and then deploy that in all the roles I've been in. I definitely say there's been times over the years when I was a lot younger where I held back because I didn't probably have the confidence in what I was saying or doing or where I was. Probably that. Just be you, be okay with being you, and being different is a really positive thing in life.
I totally agree. And actually, when we look at all the different types of experts within the Impellum Group and Guidant as well, it only by being different and everybody having their own, like if we all knew the same one thing, it would be really boring and we'd be really rubbish at what we do, right?
I literally couldn't agree more. And as you said that, I was thinking about our sales process in Guidant, when we have an opportunity land, you know, we've got your different personalities there. We've got your Mikes, who is incredibly knowledgeable and knows his stuff and is such a good human. And he's also really good at kind of stress testing. You know, he'll have an opinion on things. Someone else might have a different opinion, but that's cool because that makes the outcome even better and even stronger. You've got Beck, who makes such incredible presentations and clearly her artistic-y, what's the word I'm looking for? The way she just makes stuff visually look so attractive is just an incredible skill and unique. I couldn't bloody do that. I could just about draw a stick man. You know, then we've got Ben, who's a solutions architect, and his intricate knowledge of the most depth of information, deepest depth of information, is just unreal. You, everyone needs your you know, your that level of knowledge. So you know, even that, and then we've got Graham, you know, with his technological knowledge and expertise, Danny with her supply chain. Everyone's got such different personalities. So when we come together, it's that difference that makes the outcome what it is. If everyone was the same as me, couldn't draw a stick man, you know, had no knowledge on the nuances of supply chain stuff that Danny brings to the table, can just about turn my laptop on when it comes to the tech piece, you know, we wouldn't have a quality product. So you know, that difference is fundamentally vital to any form of sales process or outcome or tender.
Brilliant, thank you. What would you like your listeners to do? What's your call to action after this little interrogation?
My call to action: bring me as many leads as you got. Let's go. Other than that, I think I don't know. Maybe have a look at that kind of comfort zones, clarity, Kevlar piece. For me, it's, you know, again, everyone's different. Different things work for different people, but you know. That, you know, comfort zones, clarity and Kevlar, being okay when change happens. You know, we've just gone through a divestiture within Pelham. Like it's a different, you know, I think Julia called it the new Impelham or Impelham 2.0 or something like that. I think someone used that term. And it is different. So how are we all looking at that? Are we going to continue doing version one, or are we actually going to step into version two and make it different, make it better, make it bigger? We've got such an opportunity to make some really cool, exciting changes. So, you know, when you look at comfort zones, clarity, Kevlar, let's push the boundaries. Let's see what the possibilities are. Clarity, if someone's sat there not clear on their career or what they want or whether they're happy, you know, it is, and there's an element of it that's our responsibility to get a grip of that. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's probably where my red brain will come to the front and go, right, here's a problem. Fix it. Go and look at it. Address it. Have conversations. Speak to whoever you need to speak to make some changes. You know, I'd say that's definitely a positive side of a red brain personality. But someone who's not maybe as forefront as that, try and find confidence in there somewhere to approach that conversation, taking that first step to talk about what you're not clear on, what you want to see, what you want to get, where you want to go. You know, that should always be received in a really positive manner, and I really hope and I believe that it always would be in the group. And then Kevlar, you know, my wife tells me daily I do things wrong. That's fine. It's all good.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's learning. I won't make that mistake tomorrow. So seeing it as, you know, as a positive, it's just okay. Yeah. Cool. I now know it's okay. And you know, sometimes it takes making a couple of the same mistakes for it to really land and really understand. And that's okay too. So just taking the knockbacks in whatever guise, you know, if someone could look at, you know, look at mistakes or failings as just learning, then it helps process, it helps learn, and it helps actually change what happened before and actually that not happen again. So yeah, maybe have a look at the that mantra. It's worked for me.
Brilliant. Thanks, Joel. So I'm going to give everybody a few call to actions as well, because there's lots of things that you've touched upon there that actually they can get support with. If you're interested in more in the colour energies or the colour profiles that Joel's talked about, then there's a brilliant module in Know-How in the Enhanced Collection. If you want to do a bit of work on your goals and your purpose and have a bit more clarity, then you've got the Journey of Self-Awareness as well. So lots of these key things, you can do more studying and get more involved and define what your own comfort zone, clarity, and most importantly, Kevlar is. So thanks, Joel. Thanks for sharing with us today. We really appreciate it.
Very welcome.
And we'll get you back. We'll get you back another time to talk about something else.
Thanks for listening, and watch out for the next episode of Diary of a Serial Biller.